Welcome to Leadership Conversations with Josh Reich and Casey Cease. We have the conversations leaders want to have so they can win at leadership. Now, on to our show. Everybody, welcome back to Leadership Conversations. This is Casey Cease along with my co-host Josh Reich. Josh, how's it going, bro?
It's good, man. I mean, we figured in the midst of a pandemic crisis, we should get back to recording. And so after a two-year hiatus, here we are.
Yeah, you know, it's I thought about changing the name to Leading with Pajama Pants or something like that, you know. So, you know, just honest leadership as we as we talk through the realities of of leading and having conversations around that. For those of you who've been following us, I've had several friends reach out and say, hey, when's this coming back? Well, we are back, and lots changed both for Josh and I. My family and I transitioned out of full-time pastoral leadership and have moved to Brenham, Texas, between Houston and Austin, and things are going well here. We're joyfully volunteer serving at Redeemer Church in Brenham, and play the drums. I'm the volunteer youth guy. Chat with, you know, all the pastors and encourage them. And I'm the guy that asks for the offering each week, because now it's not, you know, goofy or weird, because not that I think it's wrong for pastors to ask for money, but I'm not directly benefiting from it. So I can put the squeeze on. It's been good here. And Josh, you've been through a church merge so catch us up a little bit.
Yeah. The church I planted, we merged last year with another church in Tucson here. And that has been quite the process, which I'm sure at some point we'll record a podcast about merging and all the things that we've learned and the do's and don'ts of that. And so now we're a multi-site church and trying to lead through COVID and talking through now what it looks like to reopen. And yeah.
Yeah. And so today we wanted to start out just talking about leading through uncertainty. And one thing I can say is I have yet to meet a leader who's ever been through a pandemic before. Yeah. And so leaders have had to make choices and calls in the last couple of months that they probably hoped they never had to, whether it came to hiring and firing personnel, whether it came to opening an organization or keeping it closed, scrambling to come up with a solution, especially for churches and a lot of businesses that are in person type of services, having to shift that and on a moment's notice, schools going to online. And so, from a business standpoint and the nonprofits I help serve, working with the church directly, I'm now a video guy for our church. We wanted to jump in and talk through leading through uncertainty, because while this is a major historical season and time, it just brings out the importance of being able to lead during uncertain times. So, Josh, why don't you fix us and tell us everything you've learned so far? In all seriousness, I mean, what are you learning of yourself and about the process of leading through uncertain times? Especially, I mean, I know you've had to lead through other uncertain times, yeah. But
well, what's this been revealing
to you? Yeah.
I think a crisis and uncertainty really, it reveals what your organization was already good at. It reveals where your marriage is. It reveals where the health of your organization is. If you had a strong base of leaders, if you had a strong, in a church world, you know, if you have a strong sense of generosity. And so I think within the crisis, it's just understanding that this is revealing a lot of things for people. And, the sense that I get is that's part of the discomfort is, you know, it jars us out of our normal routines. And for a lot of us, it's caused us to have to pivot online. A lot of churches to begin doing online services for the first time, and really putting your eggs in that basket. And so now as churches are talking about reopening, it's, you know, well, what does it look like to be in a physical world and an online world? Mm. And so I think it's, so for me, it's just really just that idea of this is revealing who you've been all along and where you're strong at. So, absolutely. You know, for you, I mean, leading businesses and coaching leaders and now sitting not in the pastor seat. I mean, what's been your view of, you know, what leaders are doing well right now?
Yeah, well, maybe leaders, not well. Yeah, I mean, Well, it's difficult to have a pandemic plan, you know, since except for like the Ebola outbreaks and everything, there hasn't been one since with the flu of 1918. Yeah. And so I'm not faulting anyone for not having a pandemic plan. But like you said, I think it's spot on that people who have healthy cultures and things that are healthy going on are seeing the fruit of that. And those that are not, you're seeing the fruit of that as well. For instance, you look at Airbnb, just recently the leader there, the CEO had to lay off about 25% of their workforce. And the way that they handled it was just beautiful. I would encourage any leader listening to this to go look at the CEO's written response of you know, how he communicated that difficult decision and change, and acknowledge how their culture is one of acceptance and belonging. And what they had to do appears to completely go against what one of their core values is. And so that's, you know, so that's just one example of clear communication. And we were talking about that before we started recording, but communication is key. And I think we all know this in leadership, but the ones that have been doing really well are able to answer the question why, what, when, where, how, who, and do so beautifully, and are able to own when they make mistakes. I remember my own staff at my publishing company, Lucid Books, before this whole PPP thing or anything else, you know, they were all wondering, like, what does this mean for our job? And so, you know, one thing you could do is just, you know, you can do like one company, I heard a major oil and gas company that basically did a wrap, like a bid for, you know, how much severance are you willing to part for? Basically had people bid. And so people that they had the bid that they liked, they let them go and took their deal for it. And, you know, so I wasn't going to do that with my team, but I was just very candid. And I said, here's what we have going for us. Here's what we have in place. Here are things we have to look for. And I'm going to check in with you weekly, good news or bad. Yeah. And I'm going to give you plenty of heads up.
Well, and I think too, you know, especially I think when you lead a change, it's the same with uncertainty. If you're not clearly communicating, then people begin to make up the story in their heads.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, this is why I think it's so important the churches that have really been trying to communicate on a regular basis, you know, being in front of their people, you know, on social media, in emails, whatever avenues that you're using to just continue to communicate. This is what we are. We're here. You know, this is what we're doing. This is what's happening, because people have questions. People are, you know, they're stuck at home and they're feeling uncertain about things. And so, you know, and it's interesting too, how, with a coinciding, you know, maybe Mental Health Awareness Month, and just how, that's rising right now in our culture, and for churches to be able to speak into that. And so, but what have been some of the failings that you've seen in this season?
That one raffle for your severance I can laugh about it because it wasn't me, but that seems pretty brutal. Maybe genius, I don't know, man. If you're like, man, if you give me 9 months paid and 12 months of Cobra, I'm out of here, like, you know, that may be glorious, but for me, I think that might be it. You know, I've seen I've seen some, you know, again, like I said, you mentioned this, I mean, I've been coaching couples. My wife and I, Stephanie, do soul care for couples, and we've seen a rise in couples, their dysfunctions being amplified right now. And that's happening. I've seen leaders that haven't really communicated or reacted and have done very poorly. I'm blessed to be a part of a church where the elders are thoughtful and mindful of what's going on. But I have seen churches, especially churches that were so dependent on nickels and noses, if you will, meaning people in the seat and money in the bank, and that have taken a hit. Some churches have really thrived with online giving and video, but others have really suffered. And so they're putting decisions. They're not leading from a place of why and thoughtfulness. They're leading either out of copycat reaction or competition.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it's that whole question of attendance and engagement, you know, and which one you're going after. And I think what is that engagement does win the day. Yeah. And thinking through, how do you actually get that engagement? How do you get people to take those next steps?
Absolutely. And how do you then transition that online? You know, right now we're using Zoom to record this podcast, and you know, and so there's benefits of digital meetings. And I remember a couple of years ago when I was still pastoring, I had a small group, a bunch of young parents whose, you know, youngest kids were going to bed at 7. And they're like, man, all of us are spread out around town when traffic's happening. You know, it takes 30 minutes to get together. And then when we're there, everybody's going crazy. So what if y'all just moved a meeting every other week online, like Google Hangouts or Zoom? And, you know, first they thought it was crazy and godless and, you know, no, there's no way that'll work. You know, you got to be face to face. And I said, but look, think about it. You can put the kids to bed. Most of you Netflix and chill afterwards anyway. So might as well spend some time in meaningful, uninterrupted conversation. And they started doing it. They loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think innovation is going to be key, but engagement, you know, that's with communication. That's with opportunities. That's with feedback loops. I think those are all essential, especially in times like this. But also, I mean, they're seeing, you know, some companies are seeing increased productivity. I mean, I was talking with a friend this morning that's a president of a company, and he said they've actually, their people are working longer from home and producing more that, you know, they're giving us their commute time. So when they used to, you know, drive from 7 to 8 to get to work and then from 5 to 6 home, they're working from 7 to 6. And not that they're wanting that long term, but they're seeing that added benefit as well. And I think some leaders get so stuck in what their opinions are that they don't see the benefits like that.
Yeah. And I know for us, one of the things that we've started to really pivot on, because we started to learn that most people are watching our services on their TVs.
Yeah.
And so they're not watching them at their computers. And so when we were trying to get people to go take a step, you know, by using, a link to a website, they weren't going to it, but we started to see increased engagement by having them text it, to be able to take that next step. And so by texting a keyword to a number. And so we've started to see, we actually, the 1 week we saw a 400% increase of engagement just by making that one pivot.
Yeah.
And starting to say, hey, you have your phone sitting there next to you, just text this word and we're gonna send it to you. And so we've seen that engagement go up just by making that one small change. And so I think it's important for leaders to really be asking, okay, what are people actually doing? So we had to ask, you know, how are people, you know, watching a service? And we polled our church.
Yeah. And well, out of curiosity, what platform did you use to poll them?
WooFooForm or something.
WooFoo or SurveyMonkey. Hey, that's a good leader right there. I don't know. It just had results. I don't know. Something. You'd have to ask George over there. I don't know. I said, I want to know this. George brought me this. That's all I know. True. It's leadership.
True. It's true.
Good for you.
I have absolutely no idea how we...
I have no clue. That's my favorite leadership answer. Hey, man, how long does it take right now in publishing a book from here to here? No idea. You have to ask Megan or Sarah.
Yep. I have no idea. But I do have...
I know release dates, so, but
I do think if for pastors, if you haven't polled your church about this, I think that is... There's so much gold there, you know, finding out how people feel about bringing their kids back to a service.
Yeah.
You know, how do they feel about that? Because I think too often as leaders, we just assume we know what people are going to think, or we assume we know what resources they want right now. And so it's real easy for churches to think, well, we'll just keep doing what we were doing before and just do it online. Well, do families want to sit down and watch a video with their kid, or does something else serve them?
Right.
You know, how do students engage? Do they engage, you know, more on YouTube or Instagram? Like what do they need in this moment? And so I think smart leaders are asking those questions and trying to make that pivot where other leaders aren't. And I think it's a missed opportunity. And so, you know, the smart ones are making that, you know, that connection to engagement.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, I teach this in marketing a lot, but you have to give people what they want to earn the right to give them what they need. Right. And I think a lot of us take approach of giving people what we think they need, but don't really spend much time really understanding what they want. And I think that's a big mistake in leadership, that, you know, what they may want. I mean, my kids, if they want to eat sugar all day one day, obviously that's not what they need, but I want to acknowledge, hey, that's what you want. Well, you can't have 20 pieces of candy, but you can have 2 today, and, you know, and work it out. So I really think that, you know, and I've seen that. I've seen elders and pastors that are just, no, this is what they need. I don't care. And they miss great opportunities to replace condemnation with curiosity and to begin to understand where people are. And I've noticed that in this past year and a half or so doing consulting in businesses, and I've done white collar and blue collar consulting. And it's when the leaders are disconnected from what the people want, forcing them to do what they need to do is much more difficult to do.
Well, and it's a mark of humility to be able to say, I just don't know right now.
Yeah.
You know, and because it's one thing to say, and this is what I'm seeing leaders do, especially now as they're talking about reopening and moving back to physical services. And so that part of the language that we're using is, you know, we're not reopening the church. You know, we're beginning to have physical services. We have online services that we're continuing, but we're having physical services as well. And, but as they're starting to talk about that, of just assuming, well, I know what people are going to do.
Yeah.
And I know that people are going to come back, or even one saying, I know that people aren't going to come back. And the reality is, I have no idea how many people will come back to a physical service or how many people will stay home because they're like, you know what? It's actually pretty great hanging out in my pajamas.
I sure love, yeah.
Coffee and watching church. Like it's pretty great, you know? You know, I've wondered how this is going to change for churches, because there's all the debate around video teaching. I've wondered how it will change people's perception of that.
Yeah.
Are people more open to it? Do people see it as less of a weird thing? Just like you mentioned with online groups, we had a lot of people who said the same thing. I don't want to do a group online. And now people are like, I don't know that I want to leave a group online because it's pretty great. Like yeah. I can mute and, you know, I could cook dinner while I'm doing it. And so I think it's going to be a totally different world in ministry and in business. And it's going to be a totally different world. But it goes back to that communication piece. And right now what I'm seeing with leaders is the ones that are winning are the ones that are clearly communicating. This is why we're doing what we're doing. You know, even if you disagree with why they're doing what they're doing, even if you disagree with, you know, whether or not they're having physical services or not, but they're being really clear on this is why we're doing it. This is the purpose of it. And because that, especially as it's so political now and so polarizing, that will rise to the top for people.
Yeah. And what we, you know, I know our church, our pastors have done a great job of polling the people, getting feedback, looking at what is the government saying locally, what's the trends, being really open to what people want and need. And because we have a multi-generational church and quite a few folks that are older and more at risk, we opted to not rush it as much because we wanted to, you know, we didn't want people to be left out in gathering. And then we encourage our people as they feel safe enough and comfortable enough to meet together. So, you know, I mean, those are the pieces that I think are real important when people work with all that. So we're going to wrap up part one of leading through uncertainty. I feel another episode coming on of talking further about that. And so for now, we're going to let you busy business leaders and ministry leaders and home leaders and whoever else is leading or just likes listening to our buttery voices. I'm going to let you go for now, and we'll be back with you next time. Thanks for listening to Leadership Conversations. Thank you for listening to another episode of Leadership Conversations with Josh Reich and Casey Cease. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, head on over to iTunes or Google Play to subscribe to our podcast. Also, head on over to our website at www.leaderconvos.com.